This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning here with Koo Soo Chuang. It is now 6 a.m. in the morning and Friday, the 24th of July. It's here. The weekend has finally arrived.
Yeah.
We waited 5 days for it and we got it finally.
Friday has another name. It's called Friday.
Yes, it is. It seems like to have been a rather long week, a very wet week.
A very wet week and continue. I think that's going to continue as well.
Yeah, the weather is playing kind of chaos at the moment because it's dry season, but it doesn't seem to be dry at all. You know, this is global warming for you.
Yeah, that's why everything's topsy-turvy now. The weather's topsy-turvy. The country also topsy-turvy.
The world is topsy-turvy.
The world is topsy-turvy. The markets are topsy-turvy.
Actually, the markets are kind of almost up in a way. I mean, there are some down days, but then nothing moves in a straight line, right? Yeah.
So, it's times like this when you think about really strange things like, how did the phrase topsy-turvy come about?
What I wonder is in 10 years from now, right, when we look back at the whole coronavirus episode, you know, will we be like, hey, remember those days where we had to stay at home? Remember we had to wear masks all the time?
10 years' time, there'll be another two or three viruses.
You think so?
For sure, 100%. When was the last one? Zika, Ebola, MERS,
but those
SARS,
didn't impact us so badly as
every 4 years.
Yeah, didn't impact us so badly as coronavirus. That's coronavirus right. is truly that worldwide event, the black swan event I never expected. I did not expect all of us to have to scurry back into our homes, have our movements so restricted.
Unless it was premeditated.
Oh no, Chuang here and his conspiracy theories. But what are we going to be talking about later, Chuang?
Well, we talk about food, we talk about coming second, we talk about life, and we talk about markets. Which one are you talking about in particular? There's 4 hours worth of talk. There's a lot of talk.
Well, I know I'll be focusing on soccer? It's an
article. Well, coming second, right?
Coming second. Yeah. Or otherwise known as second is the first loser. Is that true? That sounds kind of depressing.
So. I think so.
Okay, so we know Chuang is winner take all. But do let us know what you think. Weigh in our conversations and you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. And we will be back after this song. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Soul to Squeeze by Red Hot Chili Peppers. Good morning, I'm Wong Xiaoning here with Koo Soo Chuang and this is The Morning Run here with you till 10 a.m. Now, the first thing we're going to be talking about is asking the question, what does second place mean to you? Is second the first loser, Chuang? Is it as depressing as that? Because there is this article in Reuters, and it's actually about soccer, isn't it? It's about how Inter Milan coach.
Yeah, yeah. This guy called Antonio Conte. He used to coach Chelsea. That was his previous team. You know, this whole argument about coming in second and why it's insignificant, according to him, I think it really matters if you're a high-performance coach and you're in charge of a high-performance team, whether it's basketball or football, whatever, right?
Anything, I think for any professional sport, right?
Correct, because you're paid 5 to 10 million euros a year to perform. If you don't win, you're out of a job. So I think for these people, coming first is paramount. But I think for the rest of the world, especially if you're... And I think this relates to people who have children, okay? What kind of mindset do you want to put in their head? Because I know when I was growing up, there were parents who had basically children who, if they came in number two in the class, they'd be very depressed. Number three was a disaster. It was a calamity. What, number one or nothing? And they would literally cry, you know. And I was like,
chillax, lah.
I'm like 12 or 13 or something. Like, hey, relax, bro. It's like 12 or 13. And you know what? Over time, I've come to realize, right, the guys who come in first, second or third, they don't always succeed in life. So I think life... you got to have a lot of skills, okay? Academic smarts is only one of five equations. Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of smarts you need.
Yeah.
Just because you come in first in class doesn't mean you're going to do well in life. And doing well in life doesn't mean a multimillionaire existence, you know. It can mean a lot of other things.
But that really tells you the emphasis the world has, right? It's a very winner-take-all approach, right? It's like you're either the winner or you're a loser. You're like in one camp or another camp. There's like no in-between.
God. God, sure got one.
No, but that's the worldview. That's the worldview, unfortunately.
And you think so?
Yeah, you see it very much, not only in sports, but corporate life, right? Corporate life is all about getting to the top, being the top of the food chain, getting to be a CEO by 40. I mean, that's the kind of mantra fed to you probably when you first join a corporate and they try and show you this is the way of the world. You want to get up there, you know. But, you know, after a few years of working, you realize it's probably not all cut out. It's not really like that at all. And in that process, sometimes to get to number one, you've stabbed so many people, you're covered in blood, you wonder what you've done, you know.
Yeah.
That's corporate life sometimes, right?
Yeah, number one comes with a heavy price. It's not the holy grail. There's one thing that age has taught me, right? It is the fact that life is all about balance. If you get to number one, as you say, you become the CEO, you make a lot of sacrifices. First, you make a lot of sacrifices by way of enemies, right? Maybe your health also suffers. Maybe your relationships also suffer. You don't get to choose. You don't get to have your children, for example. Or maybe you don't get to fulfill your personal wants as much as, whether it's starting a business or whether it's your health or whether it's travel or whatever. There's a lot of sacrifices.
But it's true. But at the same time, I think some of it, you want to keep within you. You want to have that little bit of the winner-take-all approach, because sometimes that's what drives you in terms of starting a new profession, trying a new hobby. Otherwise, you might give up a little bit too early, right? So for me, like, let's say when I did this career switch from fund management to radio, I mean, it was extremely daunting now when I think about it, and like, I must have been insane. But I was like, I have to try. You know, I got to give it its go. I'm not going to give up. So that little bit of like determination is probably useful, but I guess it's a question of the extent of it. But in professional soccer, in professional football, it's really, unfortunately, a winner-take-all approach.
Correct. I mean, if you're being paid big bucks to be a big boss, you have to win cups. If you don't win cups, you're out of a job. It's as simple as that.
Or you earn much, 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 much less money.
You don't manage the top-tier clubs. Like Inter Milan is a top-tier club. I mean, Inter Milan, as recently as, 9 years ago, won the Champions League with Jose Mourinho. Jose Mourinho is a winner-take-all coach. He comes in, he wins in the first year.
But which coach is not a winner-take-all?
God. Second division and below, okay? Or even mid-tier and below. Or mid-table and below.
But wouldn't you, even if you are a coach at that kind of level, wouldn't you want your team to keep moving up the league? I mean, you wouldn't want to be in second league, third league forever, right?
Well, it's a bit like Bursa Malaysia, right? You've only got your top 5-10 stocks now, but there's a whole rest of the exchange which can never get the kind of visibility. That's the reason. So they're there, not necessarily as seat warmers, but they're there for other reasons. And they know they can't get to that sound of market cap because they don't have the resources.
But in most of our breakfast grills, when we do ask these, especially ace companies, right? Yeah. They do have ambitions to move to main board.
Okay, so that's the whole reason why they're an ace in the first place. They're high growth, right?
Yes.
You want to get them from, say, 30 cents to like 30 ringgit at some point in time in the future. But not everybody's like that. I mean, look at a lot of the family listed companies. They want to get listed, but they don't want to be a 5 or 10 billion ringgit market cap. They want to just get the listing for whatever reasons.
So in life,
and then they hold it very tight, right?
Yeah. So I guess in life, you it is true. Not everybody gets to the top. Everybody is a winner.
Yeah. So I think it's very dangerous if you train your child according to that. So even if you want to become a CEO, it doesn't mean you have the necessary tools to become a CEO, because you've got to be very hardworking. You've got to be very determined. You've got to be able to sacrifice.
I think you have to have a bit of luck, honestly.
And you have a bit of luck. But CEO, not necessarily, right? Less so. I think in business, you need more luck. But still, okay, you need to have a very, very specific kind of personality to be a CEO.
Driven to the max. Let us know what you think. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, some messages. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, and that was a very, very cool song by Superposition by Young the Giant. I really like that tune.
I wonder what he looks like, Young Maybe the Giant. Is he tall?
Small guy like me. and you're listening to The Morning Run with Xiaoning, and of course, my companion, Gu Su Chuang. Now, we're looking at this article on The Mail Online, you know, the UK tabloid. Is that the right word to call it?
Yeah, it sits at the apex of the media hierarchy. The Financial Times.
Slightly higher than The Sun. It's in between The Sun and the Financial Times. Have I got it right?
It would be a broadsheet. Back in the day, there would be a page 3 girl.
Yeah, okay.
Now those days are gone.
I don't know. Are they gone? I'm wondering.
Actually,
you know?
No. They might.
They might still be around.
The best-selling paper in the UK in those days was The News of the World. Because page three, okay.
It was The News of the World, The Sun, and The Daily Mail.
That's
and
right.
Then FT after that.
That's right. So
yeah, that was the pecking order.
Which attracted the most advertising, by the way.
Exactly, yeah. But anyway, this article in the Mail Online is interesting because it features Heston Blumenthal. For those who are into cooking, into restaurants, you would know that our friend is like the chef out there.
Is he really the?
I mean, for UK, he is. I mean, he's the kind of guy, like, if you had your, 10-course meal, there'll be foam, which I personally dislike. I hate.
There'll be what?
Foam.
Foam?
It's called sauce, but no, sauce is not good enough, so you make it into foam. Goodness. Or there'll be some air of whatever, air of duck, for example. There'll be a super...
Air of duck?
No, the smell of duck or smell of tea. It'd be a very super-duper fancy meal.
Atas lah.
Yeah, very atas lah, very atas. And of course, I've seen some of his cooking shows. I mean, he really, I would have to say, is almost a scientist when he gets his meals together. It's done with precision. The food looks beautiful. So, like, it's a tomato. It looks like a tomato, but guess what? It's not a tomato.
It's an orange.
No, it could be the puree of a tomato created to look like a tomato.
Sure.
Blow your mind. But anyway, in COVID-19, we all know restaurant dining came to a grinding halt, right? I mean, basically, everybody just couldn't go out and eat anymore. So what does a chef like him do? I mean, because it's all about presentation. It's all about experience, right? How can you survive in this post-COVID-19 world? And he has. He's got something up his sleeve.
Yeah, so he's got this menu which only costs £75. That's
only,
about...
Only.
What is that?
Times 5.5.
8 times 6, right?
Yeah.
So about £500, okay? Which allows you to go and pick it up from his restaurant. It's like an eat-at-home thing.
Tapao. Sophisticated tapao.
I can't make head or tail of it, okay? Because it's got salamagundi tomatoes. So this menu dates from the 18th century. So there's a bit of a twist. There's a theme. It's like markets, right? There's always a theme, right? The form of curry menu has Earl Grey tea cured salmon. The Vivendia menu has meat, fruits, mandarin. So, and then there's chicken cooked with lettuces. So basically it's just meat and vegetables, lah, but, made to look fancy. So I want to say one thing, right? Because these kind of people, they thrive on... the whole experience, the whole gastronomic experience. I had a friend who went to his restaurant in London, right? Fat Duck, right? Mm. Fat Duck, you go there, you do the whole experience, it's like £250, right? Which is about, what, 1,005?
Yeah,
He went in on queue for his booking at 1,004.
Okay. Only.
So he went with his wife, two of them, right? He rocked up at 8 o'clock, as you're supposed to. Hmm. He couldn't get out of there, I'm not kidding, right, till 12:15 at night.
Because every dish was so slow.
Yes, but there was 10 courses, lah.
Okay, at the end of the day, did your friend think it was worth it?
No. No, he's like, I'm so hungry, they're taking the time, what's going on?
Did he eat all the bread in the bread basket?
I think eventually he did. So he paid nearly £3,000, right?
For the two of them. Wine, probably.
No, not including wine, yeah. So wine he also had. So he had, in the end, I think his bill was like £4,000, okay? A lot of money. But he said once in a lifetime, okay?
Okay. Just to put it into Malaysian context, that would give you 570 plates of char kway teow, assuming a plate is £7.
Yes.
Okay.
So the Chinese style, you turn up, you eat like a barbarian, and then you order them by 9:15.
What 9:15? 8:30. You sit down, hopefully the food is out in 5 minutes, and with no conversation some more.
No conversation.
Then you chow.
Like locusts, and then you're out of there.
But I know some people take a lot of pleasure.
They do.
It's, something for everybody. But the point is, what I think is, even people like him, world-renowned chefs, have to evolve in this COVID-19 era. They have to survive, right? So maybe he's making this attempt in terms of doing home kits. And we see a lot of this in Malaysia too. So a lot of restaurants, they were actually, even someone like Burger Lab, you could actually do, take home the burgers and cook it at home yourself, aside from, of course, they had Grab and you could do takeaway. So I think restaurants definitely need to evolve because we don't know when we can go back to the new normal. And with this SOPs, yes, restaurant dining has started again, but capacity is reduced, right?
Yeah, but the whole experience of sitting in a restaurant with a candle between you and your loved one, and then the whole ambience, it can't be transported home because it's still your study. It's still your living room, you know what I mean?
Well, you try. And maybe for those people who like to cook, this is an experience to be a little bit of your own five-star chef. You know, try that, what they call molecular gastronomy with all the fancy foam.
But I tried, but then I basically made a meal of it in more ways than
go
one.
Back to your Maggie Mee Chuang with the egg, okay? Let us know what you think. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, we have the news bulletin, and to take us there is Just Like Heaven by The Cure. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, good morning. I'm Shaoning here with Khoo Soo Chuang, and this is The Morning Run, and that was This Is Modern Love by Bloc Party. And before we take a look at what's happening around the world, we have a little WhatsApp from Ro, who, this is regarding our little discussion about Heston's 500 home kit tapao, right? And Ro said it would be nice if he would donate. He's okay with spending 500 ringgit. Wow. But it would be nice if he would donate 10% of the proceeds to charitable causes, especially those most affected by COVID. I'm not sure whether he is, but I do know some of the restaurants, actually, they did have some charity drives for some of their, you know, I guess like their takeaways to help, you know, the community also.
They should lah. I mean, you know, it's time for the rich to step up, isn't it?
Jaga kita jaga.
Jaga kita
jaga, right? Yeah, there's this new phrase.
We've been deluged with social media this morning. There's been literally thousands of people WhatsApping us. We've had a comment in from a gentleman, no name, but he said that he agreed with what we said in terms of academic excellence. He had several ex-classmates who excelled in school, but not in the business world. And then he said he enjoys our morning talk program, so thank you, sir. Also, a chap named Egg Guan pointing out that Top Glove is now number two in market cap.
Yeah.
That means it's above a public bank.
Yeah.
Incredible. Incredible.
You can almost, you can't breathe, right? But anyway, I'm going to plug my little breakfast grill because we're really going to be talking about gloves this morning. We're having a kind of a special breakfast grill on markets, and that conversation is going to be with Alexander Chia, who's the regional head of research at RHB Bank, and also Patrick Chang, regional CIO of ASEAN Equities. And I am definitely going to talk about gloves, because you can't talk about markets without talking about gloves. And that's just Malaysia's story for 2020.
Yeah.
So listen in. But in the meantime, when we look at what's happening around the world, that's moved stateside, because the pandemic is once again taking a toll on U.S. employment as outbreaks continue to spread in parts of the U.S. and Southwest. So for the first time, jobless claims rose to 1.4 million last week, compared to 1.3 million a week ago, following the COVID-19 outbreaks in parts of the U.S. and South and West, actually. So the economists had forecast that claims would match the previous week's unrevised figure. So in other words, this 1.4 million data is worse than expected.
Yeah, it's hard to see how it could have been anything else, right? It was only the extent of the damage. So this is 100,000 more than the economists estimated. And that basically is a reflection, I guess, of the Sunshine States in America being hit by another outbreak. I think Florida is in trouble. California is in trouble. Texas is in trouble, all the southern sunny states, which is a bit weird because
California is not Republican, but Florida and Texas
are. It's the extent of the response there, isn't it? And Americans essentially exercising their rights to the First Amendment, which is the right to assembly. But this also potentially accelerates that $1 trillion stimulus package, which everybody was hoping to be announced or some kind of news. But then Mitch McConnell said that it wasn't so soon. I think there's going to be a lot of issues to discuss. Yeah. Because it is $1 trillion, and you know, America is already deeply in debt.
Yeah, I mean, if you rewind to the early days of COVID-19, the U.S. you know rolled out a $2 trillion stimulus package, totally unheard of in the entire world. It was basically giving 600 weekly in terms of unemployment benefits to quite a lot of people. So this is due to expire next week. And of course, the question is, once it expires, what does this really, really mean for the economy, you know? But yesterday evening, Secretary of Treasury Steve Mnuchin said that the Republicans are considering extending these supplemental jobless benefits as long as they replace 70% of workers' lost wages. So it's probably going to be another US $1 trillion stimulus package at the moment. But my point is, every time, and this is just the economy, right? Every time you introduce a new stimulus package, the actual benefits of it are much less than the first one.
Yeah, and then...
And you know, how long can you do this?
Correct.
How long can you kick the can down the road? Because the reality is, whether or not you like to admit it, there will be some jobs lost.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Some businesses should have closed down and will close down.
And then you also see the usual inflow of funds to the big corporates who don't really need the money, but I don't know how they end up getting it, right? Because their lobby groups are so strong. But remember what Tony Nash was saying? He was saying a couple of days ago, he's based in Texas, right? He's saying that that stimulus will be passed, no question about it.
Yeah, both sides of the House need it.
But there's a real social element to it, because a lot of people in America were getting more money than from these stimulus checks than from their wages. So there was no real motivation for them to go back to work when actually they could go back to work. So I think in terms of...
Is there work for them, Chuang? I'm not really sure about that, though.
Well, we can't generalize 320 million Americans, right?
So yeah, there will be... We can't generalize that not everybody doesn't want to go back to work.
Correct. Yeah, but that was the social stigma involved with paying them more than they got from their salary. So I think after 6 months of this, the American government has to ask themselves, right? Will we get our employment model back on track? I think it's a question
not only just for the American government, for us also in Malaysia, right? Because our unemployment is going to be an issue.
Yes.
Right? Do we continue with some form of, you know,
moratorium?
Yeah, Penjana, Prihatin, and the loan moratorium. But let us know what you think about any of these stories or anything we discussed this morning. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, we'll be taking a look at the front pages of our daily newspapers and online portals. We'll be back after these messages. Now, don't go away. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. I'm Wong Shaoni here with Kusu Chuang, and this is The Morning Run, and that was Electric Feel by MGMT.
Electric Feel, as opposed to Electric Eel.
Both giving you a shock.
Just like yesterday, our comms minister.
Oh, yes. Okay. Because now we are going to take a look at the newspapers this morning. So, what do we have, Chuang?
Well, all the media agencies are covering this item because Datuk Saifuddin, the comms minister, has said that all content creators, including of your social media posts, must now apply for a license before doing so from FINAS, the National Film Corporation, which made everybody shocked, okay? Because what do you mean? So when you go for your niece's birthday party and then you upload on Instagram pictures of her blowing out her cake at 4 years old, you're supposed to apply for a license too?
Okay.
excuse me.
How many people will be applying?
What?
There'll be lots of people applying for licenses technically, right?
Mm.
I don't know how that's possible.
And of course, then the government said, oh, you know, we're not here to stifle social media freedoms, da da da. So then what is it?
And who does it apply to?
Who does it apply to?
And, you know...
And how are you going to enforce it?
I'm sure there must be a gazillion videos of people posting their children, blowing their candles on the cake,
yep,
at recital, ballet recital, school graduations, your own wedding photos, yep, travel pics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so yeah, there's also this...
I'd like some of what they're having actually to eat, because it sounds pretty good. I mean, must have great repercussions on their psyche.
But the Malaysian Reserve, actually, they have an op-ed by Shamsul Akma. And his title is The Years of Living Witlessly.
Yeah, I saw that. Fantastic.
And he says that, you know, it's about the whole thing about, you know, do you need... personal videos or shared on social media, does it require a license from FINAS? How does this realistically work, right? Is it even possible?
Yeah. So yesterday I saw tweets from Ambika, the lawyer, and Yobi Yin, the former climate change minister, asking for the old Saifuddin back, the one that was right-thinking and, you know, basically full of common sense.
Well, we'll see. I'm sure this story will continue to unfold. But in the meantime, the Malaysian Reserve headline is about government healthcare and pharma brands remain advertising lifelines. I mean, this is true, though. They're one sector that kind of survived the COVID-19 pandemic without much of an issue, because, you know, it's all about staying healthy at this current juncture, right?
Yeah, still on the star. I've got the fact that page 3 is going with the fact that the Penang's land reclamation project, specifically the three islands off the south of Penang Island, 1,800 hectares, has to wait for Department of Environmental Assessment tests before they can proceed. And of course, I mean, if you're going to take this much sea away from, you know, Mother Earth, there's going to be some kind of impact on Mother Earth. And obviously, mud floods, turtle landings, fish hatcheries, all kinds of stuff, even livelihoods, because a lot of fishermen make their money off that part of the world.
And buried in page 8 of the Malaysian Reserve is the fact that the EC has set slim by-election on August 29, right? So Malaysia is looking forward to another elections in this post-COVID-19 era.
Okay. The Edge CEO brief going with the fact that Top Glove is now the number two most valuable company in the country. That's a tweet, that's a WhatsApp that Iguan also mentioned earlier. 70.5 billion ringgit was the market value yesterday, higher than Public Bank and second only to Maybank. So then I did, I let my digits do some traveling and I found out that...
Did they go far?
It went very far. The chairman, executive chairman, Tan Sri Lim Wee Chai, owns at least 25% of the business, which makes him worth a lot of money.
And the New Straits Times has the headline, mask going to be mandatory, and that's from August the 1st. So you must wear a mask in public transport, crowded areas to curb COVID-19 transmission.
On pain of 1,000 ringgit.
Yeah, but I think Malaysians are also want some clarification on what crowded public places mean. And also, if you've done this, if you make it law, is there going to be strict enforcement?
So what happens if you sit in your car with, like, say, three other people? What happens then? Is that mandatory?
I don't know. That's why the people need to figure out exactly what is, you know, crowded public places, and they need to define that. So I think we'll be definitely following this news because it is important.
Yep. Okay, another item from the HCO brief. They've pointed out that Malaysian companies have slashed their dividends by an average of 31% in the first quarter of 2020. That obviously reflects the March downturn. And the eve of the MCO, right? So,
I'm not surprised here. I mean, in US, right, we already saw that actually. The banks actually also cutting their dividends, right? In fact, it's something that the Fed is saying you have to do. In UK, the Bank of England has not said you must do, but
they've urged them.
You are encouraged to do.
HSBC did that for the first time in decades. So in Malaysia, Hong Leong Financial, Alliance Bank, Gamuda, Carlsberg, Sunway REITs and VS Industry all suspended dividends totally for the quarter.
I'm not surprised. I'm sure more names will probably be making such an announcement. But that's all from the papers this morning. Coming up next is the 7 a.m. news bulletin, followed by more business news and analysis, where we'll be speaking to Carlos Casanova, Chief Asia Economist of COFAS. But first, here's Hush by Kula Shaker. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.